Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Why don't we stand together for the reading of God's Word? We're going to read the rest of this chapter. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? Or if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps and ministrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I'll show you a more excellent way. You can be seated. We live in a day within the church where I think that each one of us could recognize that it is a time where the church is focused on individualism, looking and saying, what are the best methods or techniques to change me? What does the church offer to my own felt needs? If I don't experience the right feeling, I'll go and try to experience it somewhere else. It's all about me and God and the experience that I might have. And we see that it is a trend that has crept into the church where it is about the individual. The model of the seeker-friendly church has been Willow Creek Community Church near Chicago, Illinois. 30-plus years ago, that became that model church of what it is to be seeker-friendly. The church pushed programs, making people feel as comfortable as possible. Entertainment-oriented worship. Sermons were filled with psychology and making people feel special and important and encourage them to live a better life. That was their business, growing in numbers and even on a sign outside the pastor's door, it says, quote, what is our business? Who is our customer? What does the customer consider value? End quote. Who is our business? What is our business? Who is our customer? And what does the customer consider value? Looking and seeing that the members of the church are a consumer. The people that come through the doors of the church are a consumer. And we live in a land where it is a consumer mentality. Looking and if you don't like one particular store, you could go to another. You can go and figure out what food you want. If you don't like one, you go get a different one. And it's a mentality where it is filled with individualism and looking and saying, what do I want as a consumer? What is it that meets my particular needs? Bill Hybels and their leadership, the pastor of the church, has in recent years said, we need to repent of the direction that we've gone. He confesses, saying, we made a mistake. What we should have done when people crossed the line of faith and become Christians, we should have started telling people and teaching people that they have to take responsibility to become self-feeders. We should have gotten people, taught people how to read their Bibles between service and how to do the spiritual practices much more aggressively on their own. We failed. We need to repent. We've done it wrong. And what we need to do is try to help the people become self-feeders so they can read in between services and do spiritual disciplines on their own. And I look and I would agree with the Willow Creek leadership that making people feel comfortable or entertaining or watering down the message or focusing on a program-based philosophy of ministry will never be an effective means of building up the body of Christ. However, I don't agree with their solution either. Looking and saying, we need to go away from entertaining to teaching people to be self-feeders. And I look and it goes right back to that mentality of individualism. Going right back to, it needs to be me being able to do these things on my own, where as we approach our text this morning, I see that not to be the case. We are the body of Christ. We are not to be where we're independent and trying to work out our thing on our own. We are members of one another. We belong to one another. I can't do it on my own, and neither can you. George Barna, as I was reading in this journal on modern Reformation, he's one of the guys that goes and does surveys and takes polls and is pretty well known within the Christian community for doing that. And he says that the church is going in a direction where it's becoming more and more individualistic and saying that eventually, you know, people will be internet Christians where they just go and they pick and choose and they do what they want to do over the internet, and there'll be less and less of a need for the body to be together. And I totally disagree with it. We are at a place where we need each other more than ever. Looking and seeing that we as the body of Christ are dependent upon one another. The solution for the church isn't to become self-feeders, but to preach the gospel. To preach and teach the full counsel of God's word. To teach the children, to teach the youth, to teach the entire congregation the character of God, and to bring the congregation on a regular basis to a place of feasting on the character of God, singing prayerful dependence upon a God who's majestic and glorious and powerful and abounding in grace and who is absolutely sufficient for our salvation and sufficient for our every need or desire. That's what we need. As a body together, we need to go and teach the kids, this is who Christ is. This is who your God is. He is worthy to be worshipped. When you pray, He is sovereign and all-powerful and can answer prayers. They need to have a biblical view of life and biblical view of suffering and a biblical view of sin and a biblical view of salvation and how salvation comes and understanding it and having it be where it's on their mind that it is by faith alone that I'm saved. It's by grace alone that I'm saved. It's in Christ alone that is my hope. They need to understand these things, and we all together as a congregation need to have a biblical view of us, of God, Come to a place where we are sharpening each other and feeding one another and encouraging one another and holding one another up and being a body that is constantly ministering to one another. It's not to become strong individuals who are self-feeders, but to faithfully stir up the gifts that each one of us possesses to minister to each other as many members who are part of one body, the body of Christ. I look and I think it's important to be feeding yourself. I think it's important to be looking and saying, what else can I study and how else can I grow? Is there good books that I can read? Or let's go through Scripture and have it be where there's those disciplines that are there and feeding our own soul. But that's not the solution to the church. The solution to the church is that we operate in a way that is biblical, that is proper, that we are ministering to one another, taking the gifts that God's given us and ministering to one another. I want our church to be a healthy church. I want us to be in a place where we are using our gifts in a way that we as a congregation are being built up, encouraged, exhorted, looking and praying for one another and worshiping together. It is so important. So as we come to our text this morning, think on this. Look and see that this is not an institution where it's about individualism. It's not. It's about us being together as a body. Each of us members of the body, but we're one body. We need each other. So in verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." We see that there's many different people here with different kinds of gifts. Every one of us has a gift, as we looked at last week, that's been given to us from God, perfectly in accordance with His will, for the sake of one another. You were brought to Reverence Bible Church for a specific reason and gifted in a certain way because you were going to be absolutely critical in God's plan for our church to minister to each other. In Ephesians 4, why don't we turn there for a moment? Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 12, but in Ephesians 4, verse 11. He says here, He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now let's just stop there for a moment. You look and he says, I've gifted certain people in different areas, specifically for the equipping of the saints and for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. We need to be built up. We need to be edified. We need to be where we are equipped and we're ministered to. For us as a body to be healthy, it's absolutely critical that we see ourselves in such a way. Goes on and he says, till all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We're not to be tossed to and fro by every doctrine, being tricked by those that would come with their crafty speaking, their cunning words. But it says that we're to speak the truth in love. We're to know the truth. We're to speak the truth in love so that we would grow up, be built up. We see that Christ tells us that he is the head of our body. He's the head. We are the members of the body, and he has joined us and knit us together with what every joint supplies so that it would be the effective working by which every part does its share. Every part of the body needs to do its share for the sake of all of the rest of the body, causing growth for the body and for the edifying of itself in love. Do you see why it's important that we look and we see that it's not about being a healthy church by becoming self-feeders? It's not about individualism, but it's about looking and seeing, I have a gift. It belongs to the people who are in this room and those who have not been, are not here today, but are a part of the body here. It's one part of it. But I need to have it be where there's an effective working by which I do my part. I look and I want our youth leaders to be ministering to the youth that are there, where it's discipleship that's taking place, ministering to them, taking them and saying, how can I pray for you? How can I hold you accountable? I want it to be where those that are in the children's ministry are just teaching them about Christ and him crucified and causing them to see in Scripture the greatness of God as they go through and prepare and look at the kids and see how they respond. Some of you that as you do the work in the children's ministry, you are gifted in a way that some of the rest of us are not at all. You're gifted in a way where you can minister to them, and you take that gift that God's given you and you stir it up, and as you take turns being a part of that ministry, you're ministering there. I want it to be where as worship leaders, they're leading us in, as the body of Christ into intimate worship, where we see it taking place on a regular basis, where it's literally exaltation of Christ. Worship that's occurring where it's biblically based, where it causes us to think. There's doctrine that's involved, and it stirs our hearts to where we're trusting him more and worshiping him passionately. But where we stir the gifts that are within us to say, it's so important that I'm doing my part, praying for one another, encouraging one another, ministering to one another. In verse 13, it says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. You see that there's this unity that is there, as God tells us, within the body. By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. All part of one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Greek or an African or an Asian or Caucasian or Latino or any other race or nationality, there is no distinction or separation in the body of Christ. We're one. All of us are one. We belong to one another. All of us are members, but we're told that we're all baptized into one body. We are together. It tells us that it doesn't matter whether we're slaves or free. It's not a matter of whether or not we are in one particular social class or another. Whether you're wealthy or whether you're poor or whether you're in between. Social status does not matter in the body of Christ. We've all been brought to a place of being baptized into one body. No, it's not like a caste system in India. It's a situation where all of us are together. There's no differentiation as far as whether you're rich or whether you're poor. Part of the same body. We're never to look and say, oh, if that person leaves the church, it's not that big of a deal. They, you know, they don't have that much to offer. Everybody has it. A gift that has been given to them that if it's gone, we all suffer. Think about it like if you only have one ear, where you can only hear from one ear. You can't tell where sound is coming from the same way as someone who has two. I called Dr. Jim and Dr. Bev Hendrickson out last night and said, let's talk about the human body and how it works. And to be honest with you, they went into detail where they said words I don't know how to pronounce yet. So I'm going to do it in my version a little bit more, but it may not be totally correct medically. The eye, if you have one eye, depth perception is very difficult. Now, Doc had me closing one eye and looking, and I could still see that I could have some depth perception with one eye closed. But it's not the same. Have you guys ever seen those things? Remember in the 80s where it was like a drawing or painting, whatever it was, like a computer thing, and you stare at it? And when you stare at it for a certain amount of time, like all of a sudden you see like different objects coming out or different pictures that are there. Do you remember those? Some of you guys are too young to know it, but you just stare at it. There were people where they were like, I don't see it. You might have been one of those people. I don't see it. I can't see it. My mom can never see it. Like, and the reason why is because she had one eye that was far weaker than the other eye. And so she wasn't able to get that depth perception to be able to see into the drawing, to be able to have that come out. It was awesome. The Otsuji family got one where it looked like one of those paintings or one of those things, but it didn't have anything. So we put it up and we would say, like, you don't see it. And people would sit there staring forever at it. Like, I always can see these things. I don't know why I can't see this one. It was just fun. But if there's only one eye, it affects you. If a part of your brain dies in a stroke, you can see that it affects that person. Their motor skills. Even you see where there's damage to the frontal lobe of someone's brain and their personality is located largely in that area. And when that happens to somebody, their personality changes radically. If someone loses a leg, they can't walk the way they used to. They can't even with crutches or other inventions that man has come up with, there's a change that's occurred for that person. Can't run in the same way. You look at people with wartime injuries, and Dr. Jim was in Vietnam during a large portion of the war, and he saw so many people lose limbs and have other difficulties where he was saying that it took away so much of their abilities, and there was incredible emotional trauma for them. The effect that it had upon them. Without a spleen, you're in danger of infection. It may be one of those parts that you don't think about all that much. You're not thinking, I'm glad my spleen's feeling good today. But when there's a problem there and it's taken away, all of a sudden there's a change with you. Without healthy bone marrow, your body can't fight infection. You become anemic and weak. And you come to a place where you're not able to produce those blood cells that are necessary for health. Doc was saying, if you don't have a big toe, you can't balance in the same way. Can't run. Not like you used to. A big toe, some people think, that doesn't matter all that much. Matters. Changes everything as far as your balance having a big toe. Looking and seeing that there's times where someone gets cancer of the tongue and the tongue is resected and you can't talk. You can't swallow properly. You can't digest properly when you have your tongue resected. If you lose your sense of smell, can't taste the same way. Maybe you've found that to be the case. When you're sick, you can't taste things the same way. Sense of smell matters. If your appendix gets inflamed. Now you may think, appendix? I think I'm the appendix of the body. Don't see myself having a whole lot of function within the body. But the fact of the matter is, If that appendix isn't healthy, what happens? You are in an incredible amount of pain. If anybody's has had an appendicitis, you know there's an incredible amount of pain. And if that doesn't get fixed, if it doesn't get removed, what ends up happening is there's gangrene that comes in and you can ultimately die from it. And we look and God gives us this illustration here of the body of Christ. He tells us that we were all baptized into this one body. Look at verse 14. It says, "For in fact, the body is not, it is not one member, but many." All of us together, members belonging to one another as a part of the body of Christ here on earth with Christ as our head. And as Doc pointed out, without the head, the body dies. You can live, maybe suffer through having a big toe be gone. But as far as the head is concerned, absolutely critical for the life of every part of the rest of the body. And we look and we see Christ is our head. In verse 15, it says, "If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body?" Here the Holy Spirit's inspiring Paul to write this because he knows that there's people in the church that would say, "Oh, I wish I was that guy, had his purpose in the body. Or I see what that particular person does, and man, I wish I was gifted in that way." You maybe think, "I wish I could lead worship or sing or carry a tune of some sort. I wish I could be gifted in a way of being able to minister to people and feel comfortable in that way." And they begin to think and say, "Because I'm not the hand," the foot says, I'm not of the body. And God's saying, "Is that right? Just because your foot's not the hand, is it not a part of the body?" No, the foot is absolutely critical to the life of the body. It's critical. And saying, don't think that way. If the ear should say, "Because I'm not an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body?" And all of us would look and say, "No, of course, the ear's important." You maybe have had an earache before, and it might be just the smallest thing. There's one part of your body which is suffering. But when your ear is infected, you know that it could literally just destroy you as far as your productivity. You look and you just think, "How do I make this pain stop?" I went for probably 6 months, maybe a year and a half ago, where my ear was just, one of my ears would just constantly feel like it was just filled with water, in pain. I would talk and I just could hear an echo through the whole process. And I was just like, "I don't care what it takes, fix it." And it took like 6 months to get it to the point where it was finally working properly. But literally, just one little problem caused me to virtually go insane. It was crazy. And you look and you see that it's the smallest things, and God says, you can't look and say, "Well, because I'm not that, I'm not important." What we're dealing with is, it's sin. When someone says, "I'm not that person," or my part of the body, it's just not important at all. We're looking and we're saying, "I'm not thankful. I'm not content. God, you messed this up. I'm not thankful for my gift. I wish I had something else. I'm not all that important." And you can look and you can see on this side of it where that kind of mentality is wrong. If you were to look and say, "If I left this church, doesn't matter." You fit into that category where it's this individualistic mindset where you don't recognize the fact that you are a part of a church, a part of a body, and you are critical to everybody else. It's a sinful way of thinking. It's an unbiblical way of thinking to look and say, not that important. It may come across as humility. It's not. It's pride. It's unthankfulness. It's questioning the character of Almighty God when He has gifted you in specific ways. You're to use that for the health of the rest of the body. He says, if the whole, in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? You can recognize that all of it is intertwined and is so important for one another. In verse 18, it says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. Wow. A sovereign, almighty God who does whatsoever He wills to do, who accomplishes His purposes, and there's no one that can thwart His will or say, what are you doing? A God who's in control of all things says, I have set the members of Reverence Bible Church, each one of them, in the body, just as it pleased Him. Perfectly in accordance with how it pleased Him. So that the whole body could function properly. In verse 19 it says, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, saying, I have no need of you. You can't do that. On one side, you can't say, I'm not important. There's nothing. If I left this church, no one would even care. My gifts are nothing. I'm not elaborate in the way that I speak. I don't have a lot of money. My gift doesn't matter. My tithe doesn't matter. Where you see in Scripture, it's the widow giving her two mites that God says she gave more. And looking and saying that, we see on that side, it's sin. But on the other side, looking and saying, I have no need of you. I stay in the hand, I don't need you. Or the head to the feet, I have no need of you. In the same way, that's sin. Where you look and it's this mentality of, it's me and God. I'll be a self-eater. It's individualism. I'll do my thing. I don't want to be under any kind of authority or a part of a body where I'm accountable to the gifts that God's given me to minister to one another. I don't have need of them, and they don't have need of me. And this mentality where it just doesn't matter. You see in this text, he's saying, you can't say that. You can't say, the eye can't say the hand, I have no need of you. Wouldn't that be absurd if you're sitting there just going, I don't need this hand. I'm going to get rid of it. You'll find yourself in a place where I never realized how important my right hand was. Roger Gregson can speak from experience in that he had a violent golf accident. Golfing's dangerous, though. And so, somehow or another, there was a tendon that got torn in his hand. A ligament that got torn in his hand. And at the men's fellowship yesterday, he was saying, it really matters. Get to tie my shoes. There's so many things that you do where it's not a broken finger. It's not a broken hand. It's a ligament that's been torn. And anybody that's ever torn a ligament, you know how painful it could be. Tom Iman so graciously said to him, like, oh man, that's worse than a break. I'd rather break my hand than have that happen. That's going to take forever to heal. Not really the gift of comforting and compassion that we see there, but somebody else may want to minister to Roger after the service today. But you know what we're talking about, where there's one little ligament that's hurting and it affects so much of what you do. We can't say, I have no need of you. It's not an individualistic mentality where we look and say, I can be on my own. That particular part of the body just doesn't matter to me. I don't need to be ministering to them, and they don't need to be ministering to me. I'll go someplace else. I'll do it myself. I'll have this individualistic mentality where it's about me, my needs, what I want. And I don't need the other things that are going on within this particular body. Not good enough. That's not the way that we're to be thinking as the body of Christ. We're to look and say, I do have need of the hand. The head saying to the feet, I have need of you. I'm dependent upon the body to build me up in a way that I'm going to be most encouraged. In Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Church isn't for us when it's convenient. We can't look and say, I could be gone for months at a time, and it doesn't matter. No one knows. I'll go when I need it. When I need a fix, I'll go. That's not the way our minds should be thinking if we're to think biblically and see ourselves as a part of the body. And I know there's times where people miss church or they can't attend something, but the fact of the matter is our mentality is, I'm a part of a body and I'm important to the body, and I can't look and say, I have no need of you. And I can't look on the other side and say, I am not important to them. We have to look and see that God has given us our bodies as an illustration to where we know when one part of our body is absent, it affects everything. We go to church not to get something out of it and whether or not it meets my needs, but because that's what Christians do. That is what you are to do as a part of the body. Jonathan Lehman said, an adopted son attends the family dinner at table with his new brothers and sisters, not just because it's good for him, but because that's what he is, a member of the family. When you're an adopted son, you go and you eat with the other brothers and sisters as a part of the family at dinner time, not just because it's good for you to eat, but because that's what families do. You're a part of the body. You belong to the body. You go, and that's what we do. We are a body, and we are told in God's word, don't forsake the assembling together of the body as is the manner of some. But we're to exhort one another. And even more, as you see the day approaching, as you see Christ return, we're to participate in church, using our gifts to minister to the body. In verse 22, it says, no, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. They may seem to be weaker. They may seem, and the word is used there, they may seem to be weaker, but they're necessary. No one looked at someone and says, you have really good kidneys. It's good. Look like they're operating well. No one cares about it. No one thinks about that. And yet it's absolutely critical to us. A liver, critical. You go through and you can see that every part of our body is so important to the rest of it. And even when you have a gift that may seem to be weaker, may seem to be something where it just doesn't get noticed in the same way. No one knows that I'm praying. No one knows that I gave finances to this particular family who's in need, and I didn't say anything. It just anonymously put it under the doormat or stuck it in their mailbox. Or no one knows these things. No one knows what I'm doing. No one thinks about the person that's taking care of the little babies. I mean, the kids aren't appreciative. And yet the fact of the matter is, we do think of it. We look and my little boy that's in there, who screams and cries sometimes when it's someone that he doesn't see on a regular basis, or maybe he even sees you on a regular basis and he still is horrified. The fact of the matter is, you're ministering to him, shaping him, loving him. Every part of this body is important. Those that seem to be weaker, God says, are necessary. I pray that God helps us to see that our gifts are given to us just as He pleased, to exist for the body, the building up of the body. We're part of the church body. That we see ourselves to be a part of it in such a way that rather than falling to individualism and that mentality within our church today, that we never think of ourselves as consumers within a church picking out our favorite style of clothing. We would never think that we could leave without informing those within the church because we decided to return the clothing or look for a new style or a new look. Church hopping from place to place as if it just didn't matter. Our gifts didn't matter. Our part in the body didn't matter. And it's not that people are to never leave a church, but I know there's people within our church where they anguished over whether or not to change and sought counsel and looked at it and prayed and waded through it. And there comes a time where if you're not being challenged or fed through the preaching of the Word of God, you don't see that taking place, or the worship, you just don't find it to be Christ-centered, or you find it to a place where it's just God is not being glorified in that way, there may be a time where you're to leave. Or you find yourself moving to a different location, job transfer, or you've sold your house, or you've moved someplace else. There's times where people leave the church, but I just think in today's day, people leave far too easily. Looking and saying, it doesn't matter. Go from this place to that place to that place. And not ever recognizing the need of the local church, the local body, how we're dependent upon one another, how we're using our gifts to minister to one another. In verse 23, it says, "And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another." We ought to be a church that is loving one another, ministering to one another, not having schism within the body, but seeing ourselves as together and wanting to build each other up. In verse 26, it says, "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." That's how the body functions. When one member suffers, all of them suffer with it. Do you find that to be the case with your own body? Yeah. How many of you guys or girls have ever hammered something and smashed your thumb or slammed your finger in a door? And you sit there and it's just like, make it stop. You blow on it. You go get ice. You suck on it. You do whatever it takes to make it feel better. And you think, it's got to stop hurting soon. It's got, what else can I do? Can I take some aspirin or Tylenol or Advil? What can I do? How can I make it better? Literally, I'll do anything it takes to make this little thumb feel better. And as the body of Christ, when one member suffers, all of us together are to suffer with them because we know that we are together. We're united. We are a body. And when one member rejoices or is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You know, like when you taste something really good, and how it affects all the rest of the body as well. Or when you see something that's just beautiful, You're looking at something, and what does it do? You look, your eyes see it. It's this incredible glacier or mountain or whatever it is, and you look, and it takes your breath away, and you get goosebumps, and it affects all of your body. The fact of the matter is when one is honored, all the rest of us, man, we rejoice with you. It's not looking and sinning and saying, I'm envious because you have that, but we rejoice with them. We suffer with them. We pray for them the same way that we would want to be prayed for if we were in their circumstance. We're a body that is dependent upon one another. Our goal is to build one another up, all for the glory of God and for His kingdom. I encourage you to look at the text and say, how does this apply to me? Have I been thinking biblically? Or have I looked and said, I don't have need of that. I don't have need of that. They don't have need of me. Or do you see yourself as God decreed, appointed, perfectly in accordance with His will, that you would be a part of a body and that you would have a specific gift because He knew that the rest of the body needed it? I tell you, that's what God says in His Word. Makes it so clear. And I pray that for Reverence Bible Church, I pray that God would stir that within our minds, that we would see that to be the case, that we would be a healthy body, ministering to one another, using our gifts in a way where all of us are built up together. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, we're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for the church. The church body, which is Your body with You as our head. Thank You that You have not left us alone. That it's not about being individuals, self-feeders, but about those with gifts of teaching, those with gifts of exhortation, exhorting, those of gifts with compassion, ministering or administration, using their gifts to administrate here within the body. Those with gifts of helping. All of us functioning together in a way that we are a healthy body. All of us, we see, are necessary perfectly in accordance with Your will. We trust these things that You tell us in Your Word, God. I pray that You would stir within the hearts of Your people repentance, where repentance is necessary. Contentment, where contentment is necessary. At the same time that we would desire gifts, desire to stir up the gifts that are within us, because we want to have a great and healthy impact on the rest of the body. Help us not to be proud. Help us to be humble and see ourselves within this particular church for a reason, for a purpose, and that's for Your glory. As we come and approach Your table and communion, I pray that we would approach in a worthy manner, that we would give thanks for Your body broken for us and for Your blood shed for us, that we would proclaim Your death till You come. Or that we would see that this is a time for Your people to remember You. Lord, we are so thankful for our sin being removed, forgiven, hurled into the depths of the sea. We're thankful for Your righteousness that's been placed upon our account. Your righteousness, even the righteousness of God. And I pray, Lord, that we would be filled with worship this morning as we partake in communion. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.